Hey, what's up, you low budget? This is Reggie B. Fine. You listen to a live podcast with your boy, Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Live and in Color with Wolfie D. You know who I am, and you know who this guy is, Jimmy across the street. And today we got quite a guest, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you got sensitive ears, virgin ears, go ahead and flip us off. And I don't mean give me a bird. I mean just don't listen today, because if you are easily offended, Reggie's going to offend you. I promise.
Yeah, he says it like he means it and feels it.
Yeah,
and he does not hold back. Yeah, he don't care, and he's not going to lose any sleep if you do. You know, so I would say this: if you do have sensitive ears and something may bother you, go ahead and just skip about an hour of the show and go on to Ask Wolfie, and we will. Yeah, we'll be okay with that. It's okay. You know, our analytics are normally great. Thank y'all so much. But in this regard, we understand if you want to do this. But honestly, you would be skipping a lot of funny, great stuff. Let's just say that.
So. Hilarious, man. He just don't hold back. And
no.
You can't knock him for that. And I mean, he's always, I knew when I asked him to come on what I was getting myself into. Same with Jamie when I asked him to come, you know.
Hey. Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to hear what he's got to say. Yeah, I'm excited. You've told me, I've never met the man, but you've told me enough about him. And so I'm interested, but I just know from what you've told me that he's a truth teller. So he tells it like he feels it. So we'll have fun with this one. But anyway, yeah. So speaking of Reggie B. Fine, you know, you came to me with this, you were like, Reggie B. And this is a guy we've had on the list and we just haven't made it happen. And it's really cool. And I'm, you know, the stories you've told me about him are just hilarious. So, and plus, I mean, he's got some, I mean, that pimp jacket alone is just that, it's just such a, I can't wait to talk about that too, you know?
Yeah. It'll be fun, man. Reggie's a good dude, man. Say what you will, he's a good dude, known him for a long time. So, and it's funny because, you know, he called me out of the blue the other day, and that's how this happened. I didn't even, the number wasn't even in my phone. So,
yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad he got a hold of you. That's really cool, because this will be a good show. Now, real quick, before we get to Reggie, though, I want to ask how you feeling, man. Your post-surgery, doctor follow-ups and all that, how you feeling after your surgery?
Yeah, it's been almost 2 weeks now, and most of the soreness is gone. I think I got another 2 weeks before I can, like, start trying to do cardio again, and another 4 weeks before I can lift anything, like, you know, go to the gym lift. And so that's good. But then at the same time, when I got my checkup, this is nothing major, but it's just funny. It's par for the course for me. I found out I got a little thing on my forearm that turns out it's skin cancer I got to have removed.
Jeez. Rains and pours over your way, brother. What's up?
That's right, man. But, yeah, because it was funny because I thought it was a wart. And I've been picking at it for a couple of months. And I was in the doctor's office, and you know how they got those posters up of different things, and one of them was skin cancer. I got to looking at it, and I looked at my arm, and I looked at that, and I'm like, that looks exactly like what's on my fucking arm. Wow. And the doctor walked in, and we didn't talk about the hernia. As soon as he walked in, I said, look at this. Is that that? He goes, see that? And I like started to pick at it, and he slapped my hand. He goes, oh, what's that?
Like that kid. Funny. That's awesome.
But, so he's like, yeah, and I mean, immediately he schedules me an appointment for like the end of the month here to have that taken off. He said it's right above Gene Simmons's head, kind of in his hair. So he said it's going to mess with your tattoo a little bit. You'll probably have to get it touched up. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so. That'll be okay. I mean, worse things have happened, right? Come on, let's not worry about that.
Par for the course with me. You go in to get, you know, hey, yeah, I heard you, looks great, doing fine. Oh, God, you got skin cancer now. All right.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, let's just hope that all calms down and there's nothing new coming up soon. I know you got, you know, your hip and your knee and all that, but you know, nothing new. We're knocking on wood. Nothing new.
Yeah. So. Nothing new. Nothing
but anyway.
Yeah. Let's take a break and let's talk to Reggie B. What do you think?
That will be fine with me.
Yes.
After these messages.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we are back. And man, this ought to be a hilarious episode today. We got my man, Reggie B. Fine, coming in from Memphis, Tennessee, Dallas, Texas. He's from all over. Where are you at right now, Reggie?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm in Dallas, Texas right now. But first of all, I want to thank y'all for having me on y'all's show. And I'm going to let me get my props in because, you know, this is live with your boy, Reggie B. Fine and Wolfie D. And we got our sidekick behind the control, twisting the knobs and, you know, the cameras and everything. His name is Jimmy Kimmel. So, nobody forget now. Now, whatever y'all need me to do is going to cost you. Now, we're on the clock. Let me see. What's he, 2 minutes now? That's $2,000 right there.
Okay.
Damn. You are expensive, Reggie B. You always been expensive.
Yeah, but you know, I'll take checks, cash, and money orders on it.
Yeah, yeah, money orders only.
You cost me so much money over my career. We'll just leave it at that.
What do y'all have? Check, cash, or money order?
We got it all. PayPal. We got it all. Whatever you need. PayPal, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't sell PayPal.
PayPal. Hey, so listen, man, I want the listeners to know, man, because me and you had talked about it and I had kind of heard something about it. But I want everybody to know, you know, you had a triple bypass heart surgery, right?
Man, yeah, fucking on fat bitches. Yeah, how about you?
So tell them, basically, how did you know and what happened?
Let me put all bullshit to the side because it's very true, man. I'm just coming off a triple bypass heart surgery. Wow. And I just had none. It's been like 3, going on 4 months now. And what makes it so bad, brother, I was still working out. I'm still lifting 300-some pounds, riding a bicycle hour. You know, I'm doing everything that I needed to do to stay in shape as an old man. I'm 61 years old now.
Wow.
But, How did it all come occur? But you know, over the years, man, what we used to party. Well, I've been knowing you for 30 years. What, 35 years or something?
Yeah,
and man,
it's about
tell you get everything in the book.
Yeah. Was it so you said you just started getting like winded, like you was walking up some steps, you got tired. So it wasn't like you fell out, but you just had to go to the doctor and they checked it out and that's what happened?
Yeah, that's what it was, man. I was getting shortness of breath. But if I do something, say a sleeping instance, I ride the bike or you know, ride the treadmill, I'm good.
Yeah.
Get off there, take my blood pressure, my pulse, everything good. But let me go downstairs to my house, go downstairs, say go into the garage and pick up a case of bottle of water and come up 15 steps. Yeah. Gee, now I'm a pervert, man. I sound like a pervert. What the fuck is going on? But you know, we all got signs that when something ain't right with your body. You know, if you go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, you wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning, your toe hurting. You know, is your toe weren't hurting before you went to bed? So go to the doctor, guys, and check your body.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because I mean, I felt kind of the same way when I had mine, except mine was a little different, where I actually had the heart attack and you know fell out and all that shit. But I'm like you, man. I was going to the gym all the time. I mean, just doing what I was supposed to do. I didn't feel any, I had no idea that I had all that blockage in my arteries and stuff. It's crazy, man. But yeah, I'm with Reggie, everybody. If something ain't right and you feel something ain't right, go to the doctor.
Yeah, you got early warning signs. You got signs, brother. Trust me, you got signs. You know, you look up all of a sudden, you see one motherfucker, you know, something wrong somewhere, you know. Your blood pressure got high.
Yeah.
And you can't play with this, man. We getting older too. You over 50 years old, you told me I already had your colon checked and you know, that nigga says that whatever the doctor gonna do. And man, go see about your body. I always say on my interview, guys, go to the doctor. We hate the doctor.
Right.
Motherfucker ain't did shit to us, but we hate them.
Right.
So please go to the doctor, man. But man, thank you, Lord. I'm doing a lot better, man. I'm up moving around. Can't do everything I want to do, you know. I lowered my stature on women. You know what kind of women I used to like back in the day? Well, I used to like them big ones.
Yeah.
About 300.
Yeah.
But now I got my waist scattered down about 200 to 225.
So when they called you the heavyweight champion, that was a different meaning, right?
You
were multiple heavyweight champions.
That's what Jamie used to say. That's how he didn't go to the gym. He got his exercise by lifting them big ass legs up in there.
He Joe, you can have some big ones with him, but we know why Jamie used to have them big women with him, because he'd be trying to get their money, see.
Yeah. Boom, right there. First one fired. I love it.
Yeah, Jamie said, oh yeah, you know, she got a car. You gonna make sure I get to the show on time. I'm gonna blah 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 and bleep bleep bleep. And I said, you motherfucker. I love it. I love Jamie. Boy, man, Jamie, me, you and Jamie, and I don't care about my little bitty friend, Mr. D. So.
Oh, yeah. Bless him.
Now, you talking about missing somebody, man. When y'all told me that guy had, you know, went home, man, I was like, wow. And every Friday night, I could tell you so many stories about Mr. D, man. That little guy, to be so little, that motherfucker be so drunk. He drank one beer, be drunk. I'm kidding. I'm shooting him. We go to the strip club and we all party and shit at the table, drinking, bitches everywhere. We smoking and we doing everything that we don't afford to do because we was over in the strip clubs in Memphis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. About 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, you come to me, I come to you, or Jamie come to me. Where's the midget? Can't nobody find the midget.
Nope.
Where's the midget? Guess what? You remember where we used to find them at?
Up under some stairs or some shit, usually.
We used to find a little man under the tables. People be gathering around and laughing and shit. I've been a pissed his pants and all kind of shit, man.
Oh, man.
And Jamie used to be so hungry, man. But he was a funny man.
Yeah, come, bitch.
He was hilarious. Reggie, man, I don't think I even know the answer to this, or maybe I do, man. What got you into the wrestling business?
Well, I always loved wrestling when I was 12, 13. My mama used to take us, you know, Memphis wrestling. Man, wrestling been popping in Memphis ever since the 70s.
Yeah.
Right. I'm talking about a lot of people don't know Don and Al Green, Buckner Monroe. Yeah. Nauvell Austin, you know, Lawl and Dundee. And we should watch TV every Saturday morning. And I told my mama, I said, baby, that's what I want to do. I want to wrestle. I want to be a wrestler. Never thought in 222 years that it would come true. But, you know, it didn't come true because I still can't wrestle. I've been in the game for 30-something years. I don't know shit about wrestling. Motherfucker learn something every day in this wrestling business. But I should have learned not to be a mark. That would have happened. I used to see Norvell Austin, Coco Roy. They used to live in the same. They used to come to the same apartment that my mom and lived in when I was little. They had a girlfriend over there, had about 14 kids. By all the little motherfuckers, just like her. I said, man. And one day I said, man, I would love to become a wrestler, man. He said, you want to? Man, I'm 6'1", about 145 pounds, soaking wet. He said, man, I said, how old are you? I said, I'm 18. And we just talking. Then, well, I tell you what, man, you're too little. You got to put some weight on it. If you remember when I first came to the Raptors, we've been in the game at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
You remember how big I was when I first started?
Yeah, you thin.
180 pounds.
Yeah.
The next year, as I got with Iceman, King Parsons, and Brickhouse, and all them guys, I got on that fucking gimmick. I was on them fucking steroids for about 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah.
And I can't afford no more. Man, I can't afford this shit. This shit, $200 a bottle. Fuck with dope money. Nah, I can't fucking smoke no weed. Can't drink no Crown. Nothing like that. Fuck that. There got to be another way I can gain weight, man. So he said, yeah, just eat. Man, fuck. That whole year, dude, I'd eat no pizza and drank beer and up all night eating chicken wings and shit. By the next year, I was up to 280 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. That's whooping. He'll tell you. That's the truth, man. Yeah.
How old were you at that point?
I was 20. I got started late, so yeah. I must have been 30.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
I must have been about 30 years old. Yeah.
You was a big motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, I gained weight. I started going to the gym and shit, working out.
Yeah.
I had got 285 pounds, my max. But I've never been a fat motherfucker, though. You know that, boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Stock it. Couldn't wrestle. Just looked halfway decent.
That's one thing when I knew that I had to wrestle you, I knew it was pretty much going to be a night off. You're going to do your little exercises and your push-ups and your head, shoulder, knees, and toes and all that.
You were
not going to be much technical wrestling.
Oh, no. It won't be no high flying, no drop kick, drop down my bowls and all. Hell no. We're going to do what we got to do. If I got to push you over, I'm going to push you over. And I'm going to get the hell out of that motherfucker because I had customers to wait on, man.
I got shit to do. This wrestling shit.
And he'll fucking around. You know, I was a man back then. You ain't going to send me line. I ain't going to throw no rock and hide my hand. I was just as dirty as the next man would back then.
Yeah.
But I woke up. And I was getting high and shit, drinking and smoking and doing all this stupid shit to you. Thank you, Lord, man. I haven't had no weed, no cocaine, no pills. Well, I had pills before my shoulder.
Yeah.
And all that old crazy looking shit, I hadn't had none of that shit in over 30 years, man.
Man, that's awesome. Good. Yeah.
Period, man.
I think we've all slowed down a bit.
Man,
it takes its effects on you for sure.
Oh, in the long run.
Yeah. Man, I got to hear you talk about this guy. I was looking through your whole listing of matches and everything you had done, and I was researching my stuff here. And, you know, there's always good stories with this guy. I mean, and none of them are really good, but can you tell us something about a little bit about working Jeff Gaylord?
Oh, man. Wow. Who would that used to say that all the time? I loved me some Jeff Gaylord, too, man. That was one of the biggest, prettiest motherfucker you ever want to see back in the day. I said, Jeff Gaylord, look how you look, man. You should be in Hollywood someday. What a beautiful body. But everybody said you had $1 million body and a 35-cent brain. Anytime, I know you got to have a 35-cent brain. Anytime you rob the same bank twice, they say, and get caught robbing the same damn bank, what the fuck?
That's what
I heard. You know, that's the word out on him.
I know he's out. He's out. He did an appearance or a couple of appearances within the last year. But other than that, I think that's it. But he definitely got out. But I have not spoken to him or been able to get in touch with him. But
you must have heard, man. Hold on, man. Jeff Taylor passed away 2 years ago.
No, shoot, he did. No. We'll look that up. Because I'm pretty sure I seen pictures of him like last year.
It's been a year. It was all over the internet everywhere, man. You know, y'all live in the country, man. You still got to climb up the pole to use the phone. So,
yeah, he died. He died in March of this year, actually.
Is that right? I don't think I realized that, did I, Jimmy?
You hadn't talked about it, so no. But yeah,
wow. Jeff, okay.
March 15th of this year. That. Yeah. So it's about 6 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Well, Reggie B is breaking news on here, man.
If you had seen the picture of him, you wouldn't have thought that was Jeff Gaylord. Yeah. I don't know what he died from, but he was 65 years old. So he was old, man. He was up there a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
But you never thought that was him.
Wow. They found him at a bus stop, apparently, in Colorado, and he was positive. They were saying that he probably didn't have a home. He was homeless. So,
brutal.
Yeah, I just got out of rehab. Yeah, that's true, man. I love Jeff Gaylord. I want to say, too, man, I got plenty of stories about him, but I know one thing. That was an athlete. That was a running mother. Boy, that's something to run to be 275 pounds.
Yeah.
But he played football in Missouri.
Yeah.
But Jeff Gaylord was at work. Lawler used to talk about him so bad. And he ain't got nothing more to talk about nobody, fucking prick.
Well, the reason I brought up Jeff is because a lot of guys come on here and say that he was pretty stiff with them as far as in the ring. He was pretty, it didn't always.
I don't think it was on purpose, though. He was just like that because he couldn't work.
Right. Right.
Right. They use him for his face and his body, man. You know, wrestling gang always have, you can take somebody like, say, for instance, like Junkyard Dog. That's my partner. He gone home. We rode him down the hallway for years together. Junkyard Dog probably ain't never do a drop kick, ain't probably never did an arm drag in his whole career.
But he did need to.
He got there for 2 minutes and got over like Rover. That was one of the richest black athletes that ever got in that ring.
Yeah.
Other than The Rock, where he was before The Rock.
Right.
But that guy there, man, couldn't do it. He didn't know nothing, man. The only thing they told him to do was just punch and kick and at the end do that thump move. And he used to he made so much money, man. But like I said, Jeff Gaylord was the same. Lawler used to put him out there, but kind of like the stretcher. Everybody know, anybody in the wrestling game know what a shooter is.
Right.
Jeff Gaylord was a half shooter. Cause he was so big and so freaking strong. I didn't care too much to work with him because he was just like the blind leading the blind when I was in there with him. Shit, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. He was a good dude, man. We used to do a lot of shit together back then and get some pussy. Oh, man, that dude had some of the finest women around him you ever want to see. He couldn't screw them all. I bet you that. I'm just like that right on the sideline, just fall, a little extra gravy, fall off the biscuit, run down your arm. I'm right there to slop it up.
Reggie's here.
Me and him at Brickhouse.
You said you rode with JYD a lot, man. What's a good JYD story that's funny?
Oh man, I got two of them, dude. You know, he was on that dope real bad. And I ain't knocking nobody because, like I said, I'm doing the same thing he's doing, so I ain't not gonna throw no rock and hide my hand. I'm not gonna throw nobody under the bus unless I'm gonna be on the other side of the track. You know what I'm saying? Because I did my shit too, man. But we were Mid South Coliseum, and at the Mid South Coliseum, you probably didn't remember. You don't went to that service station when it was right around the corner called Amoco. And by that time, I'd been met my man at the back of the Coliseum and took care of my business, because I always told guys, man, I'm not giving y'all shit. Because I was the man. They don't sense me lying.
Right.
I'm not nobody nothing until the match is over with. So ain't no sense. I'm locking my shit up in my car. If I come back out here, my window broke. I'm calling the police and snitching on everybody. So I used to tell them all the time, man, I ain't got none. I used to have a friend of mine to bring it to me. But anyway, we used to go to the service station. I did a wrestling match. We go up there and get us a couple six packs and, get some gas and this and that and that and then. But one night I'm out there pumping gas, man. I already gave Dog his shit. He ride with me and him and Brick Heller. You top the tank off, you click, 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 click. You're trying to top the tank. I'll squeeze every pin of gas you can in the tank, right?
Yeah.
I did that shit, I know, 3 or 4 minutes. And all of a sudden, I seen Dog stick his head out the window. Hey, man. He had that deep ass voice. Hey, man, what the fuck are you trying to do? Bust the tank? Bring your ass on, man. I got my medicine in my pocket. I got my medicine. Shit. Damn that gas. Bring your ass on out of there.
I'm stealing that. I'm stealing that line. That's great. I love that.
He's very dope.
Yeah.
That over one time again, we was at my apartment one time. All these are true stories now. I won't lie, the man can't defend this yet, but
right.
These are true stories. We was over my house, you know, doing our thing, you know. I never did smoke cocaine. Well, I don't know. If you put it in a cigarette, I guess you smoke it too. You pre-morn, that's smoking. But I never did take no rock and put it on top of no pipe. So I just smoked, put mine in a cigarette. But anyway, we in the house, man, one night. Everybody doing anything. Matter of fact, wasn't nobody there but me and him that night. And when you hit that horn, I ain't got to tell you, once you hit that shit, man, the next day you know your eyes getting big, you get your bell ringing, and you see snakes and mice and ghosts and goblins and shit. So we were sitting at the kitchen table doing our thing, and all of a sudden, every minute or so, I did this little thing, I get up and walk to the front room. You walk to the front room, look out the curtain, and then you come back. No dog about 350 then. He had got big. He about 350, 400 pounds then. He'll get up and walk. So got the one to come back and sit down. About 2 minutes later, repeat the same scenario. Go to the one come back and sit down. And the third time he did that shit, you know, I'm looking. I'm out of motherfucker too. So I'm thinking somebody out there. They out there. The third time, so they out there. They got the dog. They got the dog. Two of them. Two of them on the roof, and the other one around the corner with him. And I said to myself, what the fuck is doing? I get my dumb ass up. I'm walking to the curtain, pull up back the curtain, look out the window. And I don't forget, I live right in front of a big ass field. Why nothing on either side of my apartment but a big ass field. No trees, no nothing. I went over there and so I said, man, won't you sit your big ass down? Ain't nothing out there, man. I just sit your ass down, dog. I said, hey, I got in my, I was fucked up too. I got in the car. I went out there, you can have this whole house to yourself. You can walk over there, you can walk a trail in the carpet if you want to, motherfucker. But that was some funny shit to me. But I was being stupid. No damn well, there wasn't nothing in but a empty ass lot in front of my house. I'm inside of my apartment.
Jay tripping.
Oh, no, man.
You were absolutely, for people that don't know, man, at Brian Christopher's funeral, you know, they had people speak and you were one of the people that got up there and spoke. And, you know, Brian's funeral was not, if a funeral can be fun, it was Brian's funeral. You know, they danced, played his music and danced him down to the front, you know, the Dale and all them that was carrying the coffin. And you got up there and spoke. And I mean, you just always been a real funny dude, man, to be able to, you know, for somebody to be at a funeral and be able to get up there and make everybody laugh, that's a special kind of talent to me, because that's a hard situation to be in. But Brian was cool with all of us, man. Talk about Brian for a minute.
Man, I love Brian. It would have been a woman, I kissed him. I love that man. But he's another funny motherfucker. He always wore his gimmick. He never left home without his gimmick on. Wherever you were, Brian was going to have you laugh. He's going to do something stupid. He's going to say something. But I love me some Brian, because I'm just telling the truth. Yeah. I've been, man, I cannot believe I had people laughing at a funeral, man. Everybody came out there. I got through talking about 10 or 15 minutes. Everybody came up to me and said, man, you are crazy. Even Lola. That dick came up to me and said, Reggie B, man, you are so fucking crazy, dude. That was good. That was great. And, you know, I was talking about Jerry and whoever got in the crowd, Tony Williams. I told him, he looked like a damn hippie. Yeah, I had grown so much. He's like a baby Thor. I said, man, I thought you were dead. Everybody just bumped out laughing. Everything I said was funny to him, but I was just speaking the truth, you know?
Yeah.
And Brian went through some shit, boy. Ooh-wee. Man. When a motherfucker doing too many drugs, I bagged up off of him. Oh, man, I don't know what nothing that, man. I don't know nobody. I don't know what nothing that. I don't know shit. Yeah. And he was like, man, would love him a black woman. You know, a lot of guys back then, 30 or 40 years ago, it wasn't deal. It was so fucking, not racist, but it was a lot of, you know, everybody just kind of like stuck with this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin Lawler bought more pee from black women than he had white women. But his dad, he used to tell me all day, man, I ain't helping no black woman. Shit. I said, what's the difference? Pussy pink? What's the difference? I don't know, man. But Lola always had me back in here. I can't be mad at him. That was one of the smallest men in the world. But him and Brian did not get along. A lot of people didn't know that, man. They did not get along, dude, for some odd reason.
Yeah.
So I think the reason here that Brian was a lot of time prime and Brian was 10 times better than he was.
Yeah.
You know, Brian just had, Lola just had ring service and, you know, knowledge. But Brian would go out there and work. I never seen a man work like Brian. Brian Christopher in the top 10 wrestlers in this organization.
Oh, yeah. My favorite. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Brian was definitely a hell of a worker, man. Hell of a worker.
On his worst day, he was great, you know? So
yeah.
I got asked this because I know we're just kind of talking and it's having a conversation, but I'm going to go back to wrestling real quick. One of my favorite Reggie B. Fine moments on TV or anything was when you ate Coco's bird Frankie on TV. And not only was it you eating the bird, but Lance's reaction. Oh, come on, Reggie. You know, like, first of all, how did Frankie taste? Was it pretty good? And talk about that time.
I never ate parrot before, but that motherfucker tastes like a piece of chicken, man. I ain't even bought a piece of chicken. Boy, you think Coco won hot when he found out? You're talking about, man, I know blah, blah, blah. And God damn it. You didn't cook my fucking bird. I paid $5,000 for that bird. You know, I had, we pulled one of the fellas out of his, you know, his tail. You know, he got them pretty colors, right?
Yeah.
So I came out there one day with that white fur coat on and that hat. I had one, we were doing that angle then. I had one of them fellas sticking in the side of my head. That's when I went back there and, you know, pulled my jacket on for the next interview. And I came out there with the roasting pan. The chicken cooked, that one of them, but a chicken. But no
right.
And we cooked that son of a bitch all night. When I tell you that son of a bitch fell apart, the next morning everybody wanted something. I said, I'm getting the first piece of this. I'm talking about smelling good. And Lance Russell, we didn't smile a lot. That's another man I love. I love Mr. Lance Russell, but I don't give a fuck about Dave Brown. And my brother told me he was going to rain one time and the sun was shining. And the next day, it was going to rain. He said, we're going to rain, and it rained all night. All day. That's how I forced up another pole right there. But yeah, that damn man, Russell, I used to love Mr. Russell. Ooh, he told me one time, I'm just jumping like from damn, I'm like a dude on the damn that Olympic thing, just jumping from one wall to the next wall. But I ain't trying to blow my horn. He said, Reggie, want for you something Saturday morning? I don't even want to come to work because I know you're going to say something, they're going to make me laugh or do something that's going to make me laugh and sniggle and do all kind of shit. But I love me some Land Rover. But he wasn't smart with that bird, though.
Yeah. He wasn't smart. You could tell.
He thought I could cook that summer gone for real, man. He was hot. You can't believe you did that. I said, you know, everybody got to eat now. You know, we got to eat.
Yeah.
So he cooked me some money, so you might well, he didn't want to pay me. And boy, you talking about a stiff motherfucker.
Yeah.
You ever been at Coco?
I've told the story to him, and he kind of played it off like it wasn't as bad, but it was like it was the first time I'd ever wrestled him, and it was just one of my first matches in Memphis, and I wasn't, you know, 100% seasoned up for what he was trying to get me to do, and he told me to take a punch or something and go out there and fuck with the crowd. And what he was wanting to do was sneak up behind me and start hitting me, but I didn't stay out there long enough, yada yada. And so I got back in. He said, I said, get on the crowd, whop! And he hit me. And so then I figured out what he meant after that.
I know damn well you did, but that motherfucker didn't play with him. He used to stump a mud hole in and walk it dry. He did not play in that ring.
Yeah.
Man, we on TV, we got to make, Lawler told me to make everything stiff. We on TV, we can't be having this bull crap like they got now out there on TV. They got 109 organizations in Memphis. None of them people know a wristwatch from a wristwatch.
Yeah.
But Lawler used to tell us all the time, hey, be tight, be tight. He tells certain ones that, you know, he kept shooters around. You may not remember this, but remember Billy Jack Haynes.
Yeah, Billy Jack.
Ooh, wait. man. I just see him in the hallway. I go the other way. He didn't play, man. He did not play.
Yeah,
he was different, man. He's still different. If you've listened to any of his interviews, he was a nice guy, but yeah, he was different. I'm like you. I really didn't have any interest in being in the ring with him during those times. He's a hell of a worker. I mean, when I, you know, watched him as a kid and all that, but then I just kind of knew what a loose cannon he was in the 90s, and I seen some of the shit he was doing to Brian. I was like, hell no.
No. And Brickhouse, him and Brickhouse was cool.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South, and I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheep, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, The Scorpion, The Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at SteveBowtieBryant@iCloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Now that's my boy right here. Everybody knew me and Brickhouse would hang out for 30 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely want to talk about him for sure, please. Yeah.
Yeah. And all that was going down, he was going through that. He found out that he had a prostate. Was it prostate or colon? Was whatever, it's something to do with, you know, the colon count. And we just going to say colon. And man, when I found out about that, he called me down in Jackson, Mississippi. You know, he was real bad on that shit too for 30 something years. Yeah. So I told him one time, we were getting high together. I said, Brick, man, I quit. You've been doing this shit now for about 10 years. He said, I told him, man, you've been doing this shit about 10 years, brother. Ain't you tired of this shit? No, that's what he said. Let me get this right. Yeah. I said, you've been doing this shit for 10 years. He said, you know what he told me?
Hmm.
He said, I hope I make it 10 more.
Yeah, definitely.
That was always the crazy thing to me, too, man. It's like, Brick looked how he looked and did what he did, and I don't even know how that's possible. You know, it's like he would hardly ever go to the gym, and he would do his thing all the time, and it just looked awesome. He looked in great shape all the time.
Genetics,
I didn't miss ever to call it natural genetic. He did all that power lifting and shit when he was younger. See, Brick was he was older when he started. He was young when he started wrestling, but he stayed in that gang a long time.
Yeah,
and all. To 2 weeks before he passed, he was still smoking crack.
Wow.
Yeah, the crackhead girlfriend, you bring up to the hospital. Once they put him in stage four and all that, you know, it was about over with then, but he was still getting how we do benefits and everything with, you know, get the money and everything. But he just kept me, he said, Reggie, come to Jackson and see me, man. I'm dying. I said, huh? And what he told me, I, you know, we was a Blackbird for a long time. Brick really one got me across the threshold of this game. And if I met him, I would have never been, you know, in the wrestling game like I've been, you know, for the last 30, 35 years. But he used to tell me all the time, Reggie B, don't fuck with this shit and don't never, ever be in one of these dressing rooms without something in your bag. I never understood what the fuck was talking about, you know?
Yeah.
He used to carry a pistol with him everywhere he went.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, I mean, y'all went through a lot of stuff. I mean, as black wrestlers in the South, I want to talk about that a little bit. I mean, I'm sure y'all have heard everything and been called everything in the book. How did you all, I mean, did you all just say, okay, I'm doing my job, they hate me? Well, how would you handle that, if you don't mind me asking?
No, man, hell no. You know me, and ain't a prejudice bone in my body. It's certain motherfuckers I don't like. You know that. We all slept in the same hotel room. We all slept in the same houses together, you know. And like I used to tell people all the time, when people call you a nigger or call you a redneck motherfucker, they like Jamie. See, Jamie used to use that word all the time. See, we never did pay him no attention. You know, the time, you know, went along, 5, 10, 15 years, you don't hear nobody calling about it, no nigga. That is, right. We didn't play, the black folks didn't play that shit, even back in the wrestling game.
I was kind of meaning from the fans, like in the Southern fans, but I get what you're saying.
That's all the time. Nigga, take your ass back to Mississippi. Go back to Africa. Man, I heard so many shit one night. I had an old man come up behind me. We were somewhere in one of them little country ass, Chickasaw Village ass towns somewhere. My father coming up behind me with a pot. We were beating up on his son. He won his grandson.
Right.
In the room. I think with a football coach or something. Me and Brickhouse and Iceman. Iceman hollered, Reggie. I looked up, man, dude had a knife, a pocket knife, and coming to me like Chucky.
Oh my God.
Man, he wasn't nowhere behind me. You black motherfucker, you this, you that. He had him in about 87. One team in his head.
Yeah.
Glasses on his face like Randy Hill, all crooked and shit.
Everybody just pictured that too. That's it.
How do you fuck with Randy Hill all the time? I talked to him about maybe 2 or 3 days ago for the first time in 2 or 3 years. I used to do his podcast. He said, Reggie, you're going to get me kicked out of the state. You're going to get me kicked out of Jonesboro, man. Your shit be so fucking funny and so real. I think he blocked me.
I love it. I think you and Randy kind of had a love-hate relationship, didn't you?
Yeah. Randy didn't want to never book me. He always wanted to book you and Jamie and Derek King and who else was his favorite? What's that other dude name? Y'all was the click back then. I always want me to put Derrick King. Derrick King about 134 pounds. Man, fuck you. I ain't put no more. I ain't put none of your boys. Brandon Baxton. That's that other motherfucker. Brandon Baxton.
Yeah.
Where is he at? Man, you ever hear from him?
Brandon Baxter is a radio DJ, like morning show host. And from what I understand, he's pretty good at it and pretty successful with it. I believe it's in the Jonesboro area. I don't know for sure.
Well, he always had smart peanut head. He was real. He was nice on the mic. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not surprised with that.
Absolutely.
I'm not surprised at that. But anyway, that was Randy Hell down the click, you know. I should tell him all the time, I'm not putting these motherfuckers over. What's the fuck wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't put them over, you can hit the door. I don't mind fucking with you and Jamie, you know, because y'all was just a little bit of gas. Y'all were getting a hell of a push back then. And that's why he was pushing. He went for Randy Hell, all these little 125-pound motherfuckers wouldn't even be in the business. So I had to slap the shit out of Randy when I see him. Man, you made all these little motherfuckers think they King Kong. We had one little big man. That would be an idea. That was enough. He used to tell me all the time. Right, that's another one of my friends. That's my best friend in the whole wrestling game, man.
Really? That's awesome.
I love me some beer, even though he's been sick in and out of the hospital now, so he get out of dementia.
Yeah.
If you talk to him while you right there in your face, he can relate. He can relate to you. But you just fuck him out. Don't say nothing for a minute or two. You fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, face out on your ass. I love me some Bill Undy. Boy, I got a Bill Undy story y'all want to hear. That's just
love it.
I was green as a mother. I was a candy man. And I had just turned heel. So I'm going to go in there with me and somebody against him and Junkyard Dog. And Bill gave me a spot. You know, I'm in there shining like a motherfucker, like a new penny. I'm there. I'm kicking Bill ass. I'm doing it. The only thing I had to do was when I got through with my little spot give Bill ID his spot. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to do this, such. So I'm on that happy and just is carried away. I'm punching Bill ID, kicking him and choking this shit out of him and doing this and doing that for about 2-3 minutes. The only thing I had to do was let him do a little comeback. Man, I got so happy. I reached through the rope and tagged my partner. As I was tagging whoever I was tagging in, and Bill ID came up to them fucking rope, man, hit me in the side of my head. I thought I was in a street fight. That motherfucker hit me so motherfucking hard. I said, what the fuck? You forgot my fucking spot. I said, oh, shit. And never did that no more. A lot of people don't know, but Bill ID was a little shooter, man. Bill ID didn't give a fuck. That motherfucker was cool.
He threw it in there if he had to.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
That's what he did to me, man. I never get that.
Yeah.
He did what?
I said, or just pull a knife on. You remember that when he pulled the knife on me?
On you, yeah. I remember that. I didn't want to bring it up, though, but yeah. He did
Oh, we talk about it all the time. People ask about it all the time, too. So,
yeah. You know, he only pulled a knife on because you want to pay your bills. Are you a fucking old lady? You're supposed to be paying them. And you never get
that's not why he pulled the knife. He pulled the knife over gimmick table bullshit.
I just heard about it.
But yeah, that was over gimmick table stuff.
I ain't never messed with that woman.
I wasn't messing with you, dog. You talking about gimmick tables? Now the motherfucker should have pulled a knife on me. I've been selling everybody's shit for 30 years. I ain't give a fuck. I'm on a picture with you. I don't give a fuck. It's a rock. I'll just take it. I didn't give a fuck. This motherfucker $5.
You were famous for that. Like, I remember hearing fucking Reggie's got pictures of himself and everybody on
I had so many pictures on that gimmick table. Who is this motherfucker working with? Bill Abner? That motherfucker got every damn picture of everybody in the world. You just got to be the mark. And dang. That white fur coat I got, motherfucker been trying to buy that coat. I'm going to have offer all up to $5,000 for that white fur coat of mine.
You still got it?
Yeah, I got it.
That's awesome.
I got
awesome.
The black one and the white one.
Yeah.
But time don't get better around this motherfucker. Got to go. Shit. Like I used to tell him, I'm hard on the boulevard, man. I'm a pimp, not a wimp, man. Shit, I'm going to have to shake.
Yeah.
Like I tell Iceman all the time. Iceman been trying to get it from me. Let me get that coat, man. Let me get that in the hall, motherfucker. I know you got me in the building, but Iceman still about 5 minutes from me. Yeah. We talking to each other almost every day.
That's awesome.
Talking about somebody funny. You ought to hear some of my old stuff. He go back to a motherfucker. Who the fuck is McGurk and Tim McGurk and Brian Blur? Who the fuck is? Don't nobody know them motherfuckers. you start rapping in 1979. I'm about to remember the late people don't remember that shit.
Yeah. Well, we got to get him on the show.
Yeah, we'll get him.
Yeah.
He just got a part in that Kevin Von Everything. I mean, Kevin Von Everything. You know, they did a little, like a little movie or something down here. It should be airing soon.
Yeah.
So he got a spot in that?
Oh, yeah.
Good. That's important.
I heard they gave him like $5,000 or $6,000 for like 10 minutes, 12 minutes or something.
Wow.
I wrestled Kevin and all the most jokers before him. When we first left Memphis, you know, we used to ride the bus from Memphis to. Was you on that crew then?
No, that was before me. But Jamie was.
Yeah, I'm world class. Yeah, we should go. Yeah, leave Memphis and go. Friday night, we had to be in Dallas and get up on the bus after the show and ride all night, come to Memphis, do Memphis TV. That's when Eric Emery and Tom Pritchard, Miss Texas. I talked to her the other day, too. You ever hear from Jackie?
I haven't heard from her in quite a while.
Yeah, she lives with me. She about 10 minutes from me, too, 15 minutes. I'm mad at the bitch because she never gave me no pussy. So I said, fuck you, old. If you want, if you want white, you want right. You know, you want getting out of this.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I hope I ain't saying nothing too bad on your tube.
No.
I'm just talking to you.
Go ask him, Jimmy.
So, yeah, I was just going, I mean, obviously, you know, you brought him up a little bit earlier talking about The Rock and stuff, but you actually end up working The Rock in a tag team with Brickhouse and Bart Sawyer. Talk about that, man. How was working a very young, green Rock?
Man, like I said earlier, like the blind leading the blind. I wasn't nothing but a big old bucket guy doing power shit, but they were trying to get him a push. New York sent him down. That motherfucker, I know a wristwatch from a wristwatch, so fuck him. This motherfucker. Fuck The Rock. And I ever see him, I'm going to slap the shit out of him. Now I'm going to make him slap me. I'm going to fall like a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, we was all right, though. We just didn't know shit. If one of a Brickhouse leading them matches back then, Bart Starr didn't really know a lot then either.
Right.
But Brick, we were married to them for probably a good month and a half or 2 months straight.
Right. Yeah. You know,
Yeah,
there's a lot of matches.
Yeah. Yeah, round the loop. You know, people don't know, they smart. Your audience is smart enough, but I don't give a fuck. Motherfucker asked me in, I tell them, hell no, this shit ain't real, motherfucker. Give me my 35 years back. If I had a chance to do anything else, I still probably wanted to wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere you went, especially Memphis, you was over in Memphis so bad. But yeah, The Rock was you know, he was a kind of quiet. He was kind of quiet and humble back then. You know,
right?
That motherfucker had shit. When he came to Memphis, I used to see motherfucker buying that motherfucker. Matter of fact, he owed me some money, motherfucker. he reached out to me and downtown Bruno, a three draw win, motherfucker. He come. He stayed with me for 2 months. Bruno stayed with me for 2 or 3 months. That motherfucker ain't bought me no truck. I seen Bruno. We all did a show about 2 months ago. Me, him, Doug Gilbert,
Tommy, Bruno,
Tommy Rich,
Jamie.
Whoever did. Jamie Dundee was there. Oh, fuck, that's out of shape, motherfucker. I thought he was out of shape. That motherfucker did one spot when I dove breathing and throwing up and spitting and hawking and shit. That motherfucker still funny, man. Y'all have me jumping over. I can't even keep one person right without. And when I think about something else, I jump right on it, you know, because it would be funny. Jamie is another funny motherfucker, too.
He's
I remember one time we was in the car and we was all getting fucked up as usual, coming back from one of the old towns. And all of a sudden, I heard Tommy say, hey, motherfucker, give me this shit. It's my turn. James said, motherfucker, you just hit this shit. And I was driving, and Tom said, Reggie, pull this motherfucker over. I said, pull over what? I'm going to kick his fucking ass. And James said, how you going to kick my ass? Can you run, motherfucker? Because that's the only way you're going to kick my ass. You got to catch me. Boy, that shit was so funny, man. I mean, I'd have made it, buddy, but that was some funny shit that night, man. The motherfucker out of Hollywood, I said, nah, I'm going to lose both of you motherfuckers. And you know, Tommy was a big motherfucker. I love Tommy. We talk about this shit all the time. That's my man right there, too. Tommy, tell you, motherfucker, pull this motherfucker. You better do what he said. But I rode around him for 4 months. But back to The Rock, man. Fuck The Rock. Fuck The Rock. Motherfucker. I ain't seen the motherfucker in 23 years. You motherfucker, you talk to your dad all the time. You talk to your dad at least twice, three times, maybe, you know, every month or two. I just talk to him, like Johnson. I'm going to tell him, you know, they didn't get along with me. I don't understand how you don't get along with your daddy, man. That's not what he didn't want to fuck.
It seems to be a wrestling business thing, you know?
It does, because, you know, Brian and Jerry and Jerry Jamie and Jeff. Jamie and Bill. I mean, there's so many. It's like dads and their sons, if they're both in the wrestling business and they both get a name about them, there's something about it. The dads just fall to pieces or something. I don't know what it is.
Like Jake the Snake and his daddy. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't understand it, man. I don't understand, Mom. He got a man and fuck for you and gave you all the shit you needed when you were young. And then soon you get in the game. I think it'd be the wrestlers myself, not the dad. I think it'd be the boys. I think they say, well, my dad did. My dad wanted me to, he want me to follow his footsteps. He want me to do this and he want me to do that. I'm so glad I didn't have none. I had twin parents. I had a mama and a mama. So I ain't have no fucking daddy. I can, I'm going to sound woofy. You may be my damn daddy. Shit, I don't know. I never seen a motherfucker. That's why you always hear from somebody doing an interview on TV, football player, basketball, whoever. First thing I say, hey, mom, how you doing? And don't say shit about the dad. I don't give a fuck who it is. Don't say hi, mom, hi, dad, hi, mom. Motherfucker always say, hey, mom, because they know them the one was in our corner. And I don't understand right to the day why the dad, like you said, the dad is, got heat with the son, or the son got heat with the dad, or something he didn't do. Because you didn't buy me no my truck for Christmas. So what, motherfucker, you ain't, can you? Keep going cold. I wish one of my kids, I got four kids. Let me see. Yeah, I got four kids. Even what their mama said anyway.
But yeah.
Yeah. Motherfucker, one motherfucker tell me what I didn't do, I slap the shit out of him. May not be able to whoop him, but I slap the shit out of him.
Yeah,
what you
said
do for me,
man. Talk about working Yokozuna. I remember that match when you worked with it. It was three guys against big old Yoko, man. Tell me, how was he in the back? I mean, did you get to talk to him at all? How was working Yoko?
Man, his real name is Rodney. We know that, but he was a humble, big old humble man. I seen Mr. Fuji. He the one had to, you know, put his thing on, do his hair, and do all that to him. Well, Vince, what's the other motherfucking name? Was booking back then. When
he said, well, I need
Bruce.
Was it Pat or Bruce?
I think it was Bruce Prick.
Prick.
He was a fucking prick. He was another prick. That motherfucker didn't like me or something. I think he found out I was a man, you know.
Right.
He couldn't get none. He had to send somebody else to get none. I don't know. But he was like his brother Tom. But anyway, Yoko, man, was real quiet that day. He said, he came, when we got ready to go to the room, I appreciate it. I appreciate what you guys doing. And that's the only thing I ever remember saying, getting that bullseye. And then when they ran the spots, when them dude was calling the spots, I said, man, look at us, man. We can't work together. We can't at least get him off his feet or do something. I think they were pushing him against a Van Bader or somebody.
Okay.
And I told him, I said, man, look, we got three of us. If we can't get one clothesline or rock this big man or do something, they can take one bump for three motherfuckers. Everybody don't know this shit is fucking rigged any fucking way. Right. But, man, I couldn't wait to get out of that match. I did not like that at all, man.
Yeah.
Even though it ain't no better work, I didn't like it.
Right.
I didn't like it. He good. Yeah, he was a big old humble man.
Yeah.
You know, some people didn't say nothing. You was up there. You and Jamie was up there at the time he was up there, right?
Yeah. Nice guy. I didn't have a lot of interaction with him because we were, you know, with Ron and doing our stuff with Ahmed and the Road Warriors and all that. Plus, I just stayed to myself pretty much. So.
Yeah, Jamie fucked that up for y'all as usual. I bet Jamie and I saw you so much money over the years. You can't hate that motherfucker, though. Jamie John G is one motherfucker you cannot hate.
Wolfie's tried.
How much
I've tried.
I don't care how much he fuck up, you cannot hate that motherfucker, sir. You be mad at that motherfucker one night, and the next night, shit, y'all back partying, talking shit, and swallowing spit at the same time. So, but I know he cost y'all a lot of money. I think Lawler fucked y'all up there, right?
No, not necessarily really Lawler. It was a combination of things. It was just a combination of a whole bunch of shit, man. But that's just the rest of business. And it is what it is. Jamie's got his version of the story, and I got my version. And somewhere in the middle, like they say, is the truth, even though I believe mine to be full truth. I guess people are going to listen to Jamie regardless. So
yeah.
What it is.
I bet y'all still get a lot of, you still get a lot of calls. You know, this where the money these days is the Comic-Cons.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's the problem. I've got us booked on a number of those, and Jamie no-showed a number of those, so kind of messed that up. So that's where the heat
the little heat that we have now is from that, and I just don't understand it. And he don't understand why I'd be mad that you know, he's costing me money.
But it is what it is, right?
A lot of money. I heard through the grapevine he came in to a lot of money.
Oh, he got money from his dad's or his mother's when his mother's house sold. I think Bill and them gave him a little bit of it. That's a whole nother story there, too, of what's really true and how much. And I'm pretty sure he's blown his way through all that. So I don't think it was as much as he's left on. But you got, what you got, Jimmy?
Well, I was just going to ask, like, you know, obviously when you had that WWF run, and I feel like we've left it, but I'm going to go back to it real quick. So you were Bam Bam Bigelow, Adam Bomb, Bob Holly, Fatu, and Duke Drosy. Out of all those guys, were they all cool to you? Were they all pretty cool to you?
All cool as a motherfucker, but my favorite one was Bam Bam Bigelow.
I was going to guess, yeah.
Oh, man, I love that. That dude was so big and quiet and humble. And you ain't seen nobody other where I come close to him, or like maybe Vader and King Mabel. To be so big and kabump like he did. But man, that big old man gave me at least 75% of that match. He said, man, do whatever you want to do. Boom, boom, boom. Just put the headbutts over and put this over Reggie and this and that. And he had no, I love that match. But I'm going to tell you what I didn't catch you much about was that fucking Bob Harlan.
Oh, really?
He would knock your dick in the dirt. Oh, he was so... I was bigger than he was, but he was stronger than me.
Yeah.
That make any sense.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Yeah, Bob Hart, man, dude, don't y'all know I can be on this show, on this telephone with y'all for another hour or two and still can't get half of my stories out. We got to do this again. I don't know how y'all work y'all ratings and y'all do what y'all do, but I've been on the phone over an hour, but I don't know how long y'all need me for, but like I said, I'm here. We want to pick up some more of this shit down the line or something.
I always try to keep it to an hour, kind of like a, you know, it's like a wrestling show. I don't like to go over two, but on here, I don't like to go over an hour, and that keeps it good. And then, we'll definitely bring you back on. Do you got anything going on that you want to plug, or how can people find you or anything like that?
Other than going to the post office and taking my pictures down off of that motherfucker. No, I ain't got nothing
to do. You ain't trying to be found.
Anybody need me for anything, man, y'all put your word out. Ready to be fine. If I'm back. May not be 100%. I ain't doing a lot of bumping. But I can definitely come here and talk shit and do some interviews. I still do a lot of that before I got sick, before I had the surgery, brother. Yeah. And I'm still going out doing a lot of those shows like that, man. They'll put me on them and bring me in. If they want to know anybody up in Louisville, Evansville, needs Reggie B. Where you at, Wolf? You in Paducah, ain't you?
I'm in Kentucky, Somerset, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, Somerset. We worked there plenty of time, didn't we?
Yeah, I believe so. One of the ones we didn't go to a whole lot.
Yeah.
Well, just think, man, we've been in this game for 35 years. Let me ask you a question. I'm the interviewer now. Let me ask you a question. If you had a chance to do anything different about this wrestling game, would you would have got in it, or would you have did something else?
Oh, no, I'd have definitely got in it. I just, at certain points, I would have taken it just a little bit more serious, man. I've said this 100 times, man. It came so natural to me and so natural to Jamie that we were just having fun. We didn't, we understood it was a business, but man, it's just like recreation time at school, you know, when the music plays, time to go to the ring, time for us to go to PE and go play, man, you know, and then and come back and probably go play some more later.
We did more playing back then. And I got another question, son. I'm the interviewer now.
Yeah, Live in Color with Reggie B. I love it.
What was your favorite tag team that y'all used to like to work against? I know who I used to like to watch y'all work against. Who y'all like to work against?
Well, different ones for different reasons. We drew good money with Tommy and Doug, and I enjoyed working them. But at the same time, I also enjoyed working Ricky and Robert. I enjoyed working the Heavenly Bodies. I mean, there was
Ricky and Robert. You hit the nail on the head right then, boy. When you said Rick and Robert, I used to love to watch y'all little guys. Man, Rick and Robert is the baddest smallest tag team in the world to me.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. I agree totally.
And yeah, that's Jimmy's favorite.
Yeah, Jimmy
like
Kimmel.
Yeah,
I love them.
Yeah. Oh, that's my favorite, man. Them dudes right there. I talk to Rick and Robert all the time, right to the day.
Yeah,
and they told me if it weren't from Dusty Rhodes, they could have been mega movie stars. They could have been mega stars.
Oh yeah, I believe it. Yeah, they've got a good gripe there, and it's legit. I do believe. Yes.
They told me that they could have made more money in NWA. We always tell them, who gonna believe these little guys? Who gonna believe these little guys? Right. They got a gimmick, man. Ricky Morton told me, this is the true story. He just told me not long ago. He said, man, I make more money, me and Robert make more money today as we did 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Just signing up.
Yeah.
People would sell 100 t-shirts everywhere they go.
Yeah, I believe that.
Hey, let me ask you this real quick before we wrap it up, man. I just saw The Dark Side of the Ring with Marty Jannetty. Did you know Marty? You got any Marty stories?
I knew him just one time, a couple of times with the gimmick. Other than that, didn't know him like that, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know him like that. I think that when him and Sean had fell out. They sent Marty to Memphis. You know, they sent everybody to Memphis for that stomping ground shit from New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Can't do that one time.
But we got an idea. We want to get Jamie and Marty in a reality show together and try to, you know, you want to be a part of that with us, Reggie?
Yeah, you know how weird it's an element heaven. Shit, yeah, I like to do it. It
don't matter. All right.
I love it. You know, I love that kind of shit, man. I love talking shit and swallowing spit, man. But see, I'm not sugarcoating shit. If you don't like it, well, fuck you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm telling you the truth. You don't want to hear it? You don't want me to say something? Fuck you. I'm gonna tell you the truth.
Well, right. We appreciate
that. Like I said, give a chance, man. We need to finish this, man. We need to come back. You know, I'm gang because I don't do too much nothing. I sleep late, eat cake, read the phones, and try to collect some money.
That is it. Yeah, we'll get you back. Amen. Yeah, I got so many more questions, so we're good. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back on for too long.
Jimmy Kimmel, you make sure you put us on your show now.
I will. Definitely.
All right, Reggie, man. Hey, it's been great talking to you. And, man, I'm sure everybody's going to get a big kick out of this episode. And I appreciate it, my brother. It's good hearing from you. What's the weather like up in Dallas? Are you hot as a motherfucker?
Hey, dude, it's so hot down here, man, the sun got on shade. Man, it's 109 yesterday. It's 108 today. Man. It's going to be 109 tomorrow. All this week, going to be over 109.
Damn.
And that ain't Dave Brown weather. That's actual real weather.
Man, I'm talking about heat index shit. I'm talking about heat, man.
Yeah. Man.
You better go top that green egg ass roof and adjust that antenna and see if y'all pick up some of this shit down here.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, it's hot. It is hot.
Well, stay cool. Stay cool, Reggie, for sure.
Yes. So, yeah. I appreciate it, man. I love you, Wolfie. And then
Kim, all right, love you too, Reggie, man. We will get back in touch with you, man, for a part two here before too long. All right.
Y'all send me a transcript of this one right here, man. Put it online. I mean, not put it online.
Oh, yeah.
Send it to me.
We will. Yeah, we will.
I got 5-10,000 followers, man. I got 2 pages, and I can post it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I can all post right. it for now, man. I don't know what it means, but we can do it. But all right, gentlemen, I appreciate y'all. I know the pleasure's been all you all. Been yes. The pleasure all you all, what I'm trying to say. But whatever y'all do, y'all keep me in mind for any spot shows, anything, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got
absolutely.
Reggie. All right, love Reggie. You, dude. Take care.
I love you too, brother. Y'all be careful. Appreciate it, y'all, Jimmy.
Take care, sir. Thank you so much, Reggie. It really means a lot. Appreciate it.
I bet.
And Jimmy, what do we got coming up next? I'm sure I could never guess, and neither could anyone else.
Well, I've got a question to ask you.
How many?
there's about 3 for Ask Wolfie Anything. DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And folks, what did we tell you at the start of the show? Reggie B. Wow, man, that was just, what an interview, dude.
He says what's on his mind, right?
Yeah, he does not hold back. And that was very funny. Hilarious stuff. It offended anybody. Hey, maybe it's you, but he's not offended. So don't take offense to any of that. You know, I will say this. I have probably a whole other page of questions for that man. He's done so much. So we'll definitely have to talk about that.
Let me say this. You know, I've always owned up to my shit. You know, we talk about that, man. I mean, hell, there's a documentary about me. You know, always owned up to my shit. And some people may not like Reggie for certain reasons, but that's another thing about it. He owns it, you know?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
And it's not, you know, nothing he's trying to sugarcoat or anything like that. We all done shit we ain't proud of, believe me.
No, and that's the other thing is sometimes when somebody owns it, it offends people. But honestly, that's the best way to do it. You know, you're honest. And that's the biggest problem is a lot of times people aren't honest with themselves. And not only is he's absolutely honest with himself. He's, you know, and, you know, he may say some things about some of the people he worked with, but he's just telling, what do they say? He's telling his truth. I don't really, you know, I don't really know if that phrase is the correct way to say it, but I think that's what it is he's telling his truth, you know. So, but anyway, well, how about you tell some of your truth, Mr. D?
I will do my best.
All right, well, here we go. All right, well, we got some great questions today. I'm interested to hear some of this. Now, this one is a fun one, and I'm so sorry to listener MetalRob85 on Instagram. This one has been in our DMs for, I would say, maybe a few months now, and I didn't see it because the way I don't know much about Instagram, to be honest. Most of the stuff transfers directly from Facebook to Instagram, so I never really mess with that as much. But in their messages, they have like three levels of messages, and this one was stuck in one that I did not see. So I apologize, Metal Rob, but we're going to ask it right now. Your favorite 90s hip-hop song, not the ones you came out to, even if it is that's fine, but what would you say are some of your favorite hip-hop songs from the 90s?
From the 90s, well, I like more the 80s as far as that goes.
Okay.
But I would definitely say Slam by Onyx.
Oh man,
we did use that one. Yeah. Gangster's Paradise, Coolio, we did use that one. And also, you have to understand, the mid-90s was where I was kind of transitioning into the grunge and hard rock of that totally. Time. Yeah. So I didn't really go up and down the roads of listening to hip-hop like I did maybe a few years before that. So, yeah, but those are, Onyx and Coolio, I like that. I mean, there's some other good stuff that I'm probably forgetting, but for me, the 90s grunge hard rock scene that's my shit. I like that.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Cypress Hill. I love some House of Pain. Yeah. I love some Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, all that. But I know what you mean, though. I mean, you know, we're kind of in that age group to where we were much more open to all forms of music, whereas, you know, like the people before us, our predecessors before us, like our parents or whatever, they may listen to one style and love that one. I think our age group, maybe, you know, I think the majority of us, let's just say that, were much more open to listening to all kinds of stuff. But I would assume that maybe people thought you were more of a hip hop head than you really were because of
But I was when I came up with the gimmick and when I was writing raps and stuff, that was me. I mean,
yeah.
That's kind of how I was. I listened to a lot of that stuff in high school, middle school, all that. But then, like I said, that was just a time where it was changing over for me in form of taste of music.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, dude, I love the idea of y'all coming out to Gangster's Paradise, man. That's awesome. Because that seems like a great entrance song for a wrestler, you know?
Yeah.
Especially you guys, you know? Anyway. All right. Well, that one, thank you, Metal Rob. So sorry about the delay on that answer. He may have just quit listening to us because we never asked this question. But anyway. Okay. So this one is kind of timely, too. And I like this one. This one's the Castrol Kid from Twitter. And this is interesting because I've kind of turned a leaf. you know, everybody knows that I'm probably, I love PG-13, don't get me wrong, but early on in my life and my childhood, Rock and Roll Express were my tag team. And I did not like the Rockers for that fact, okay? Right. But when I've come around, dude, the Rockers were great too, man. And
yeah,
you know, it's kind of stupid to say like, okay, they were not as good as the Rock. They were as good as the Rock and Roll Express. It's just, yeah. I love the Rock and Roll Express. They were my team. So, okay, the Rockers or the Rock and Roll Express? Obviously, I think I know that answer, right?
Well, because of the longevity and the overness and all that, I mean, you got to go Rock and Roll Express. But I mean, this might be sacrilegious and you might hate me for saying this, but man, if you really watch the Rockers in the ring, they might have been better.
Yeah. I don't hate that. I don't hate
not,
that. At all.
Not taking nothing away from either one of them, but just the teamwork and the moves and the, you know, they were both really good, man. And They flew around a little bit more, but at the same time, I don't, you know, they always say the ultimate babyface is Ricky Morton and the way he sold and all that. So you got to factor that in too, but two incredibly talented teams. Yeah. And like you said, it was for us, it was kind of a ripoff type of deal. Same thing that I felt just about the Rock and Roll Express. Cause they came in when the Fabs kind of went away in Memphis. But they came out to Kiss, Rock and Roll All Night, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and, of course.
So it was kind of like, well, they are ripoffs to me, but I like their music.
Yeah, but, you know, so like with the Rockers at that time, I was like, oh, my God, they're ripping off the Rock and Roll Express. And I think the idea probably behind that is they had to have felt that. The Rockers are thinking like, okay, we're doing the tassels. We're doing the, you know, everything. We're doing it the same. We look the similar way as the Rock and Roll Express did. So they probably took that and said, okay, then we've got to do double the work. We've got to outwork them in the ring. Now, the next part of the question, and I love this one, is instead of the Rock and Roll Express in the run that y'all had with them, put the Rockers with PG-13. How ridiculous does that sound? I'm thinking that might be some of the best matches ever, man.
Oh, yeah.
Just how the all four would have worked together. I just, you know, and again, it's hard to say that because it didn't happen and it wasn't the scenario. But if you just, I know that, no disrespect, I love Robert Gibson, don't get me wrong, but I know that you said sometimes he could maybe just dial it back a little bit and maybe not want to do
just. Yeah, in the days of the 90s there, and I hate to even say that, though. I don't know about dial it back would be the answer, but just Ricky's always 100% usually, and Robert, when it counted, when we needed it, was always there. But yeah, I know what you mean, man.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
So I mean, but can you imagine? I mean, the Rockers and PG. That's a whole other idea right there, man.
Those would have been some really good matches, I would assume, considering everybody was on the same page and wanting to work together and whatever the scenario could have been, you know, might have been whatever.
Yeah,
it would have been good.
Yeah, that was
great. And the Midnight Rockers, and I'll bring this up. I heard Cornette talk about it. Not only did they steal the Rock and Roll Express, but Midnight Rockers, they were stealing the fucking Midnight Express too, and doing the rocket launcher for a finish. So.
Yeah, that was a good question. Thank you, Castrol Kid. Thank you for answering it so well, Wolfie D. So the next one is from our longtime question asker, big time listener. Thank you so much, Ben Martin. Ben Martin 88 on Twitter. He says this: what was the difference, or maybe some of the differences, in the Memphis rings to the WWF rings?
Well, okay, so the first time we go up there, the WWF rings were reinforced and bigger because of the Yokos and the Mabels and all that, because the rings were legit getting broken, so they were very, very stiff.
Yeah.
Now, USWA TV ring, I hated it. It had, and I'm talking, I think they might have went through more than one of these, but like at first, it was just, I mean, the ropes were shitty and thin, and it just wasn't the best bumping ring. Yeah, and then like the Mid-South Coliseum ring was different, the Louisville Gardens ring. Those were not all the same rings, if anybody had that in their head. Those were not all the same rings.
Okay, okay.
They weren't hauling rings every week. There was, those stayed there. But like for spot shows, I think, I know Eddie Marlin had a ring, but, you know, at that time he didn't run a lot of shows. But then Buddy Wayne, you know, we worked for him a lot, and his ring was garbage. So rings in Memphis were about like the enhancement talent. You had to work against both of them, really.
Oh, man. Okay, okay. So, and then are you saying at first the WWF rings, did they end up not being as reformed?
Yeah, in the latter, you know, when I went back as Slash and stuff, the rings were back to normal or whatever.
Okay.
And plus the quality, I feel like in the mid-90s, the quality of shit like that, even on say independent stuff, like the quality of rings started to come up. And I don't know what that really meant, but it's like even lower level stuff realized, okay, we need a ring that looks good, you know? Cause I mean, some of these shows, seriously, I can only imagine going in the early 90s to a Buddy Wayne show and sitting in front row or fuck even 10 row. I mean, you're in an armory, you're not very far back, but just looking at the condition of the ring, it just, you know, looked bad.
Those canvases could not have been cleaned on the rig, or if they were, they'd sweep them out and, you know, staff infection heaven right there. Now, this is an just reminds me, how did you fight that? I mean, obviously, I've seen guys have like alcohol spray they put on their back if there wasn't a shower. Now, obviously, in the times that you could, you know, on the level that you got to, there were showers and things like that. But I would assume not every place had a shower. So what was your method when you would get to the back and you're like, okay, I just rolled around and 30 guys DNA.
That's pretty much it. Always have a towel with you and try to have some rubbing alcohol on you to try to give yourself a little hoe bath. If you got to go find a sink, you know, wash off like that as best you can. Because there's nothing worse to me than it's like a pet peeve and just this weird thing I have. Like, I hate sweating and then having on like I cannot understand how guys can go to a show like these indie shows that don't have showers, sweat, and then put fucking blue jeans back on.
Ooh. Oh, bro, yeah.
Oh my God, I would crawl out of my fucking skin. That's why a lot of times if I knew I was going somewhere like that, I'd either take shorts, sweatpants, something like that, and then or just wear my shit depending on how far I had to go to get to a hotel or whatever where I could shower. I just leave my shit on because it was like, I do not want to put, oh God, I can't. And I'm not a blue jean guy. Dressing up for me is blue jeans. So
I've gotten to the point now, I'm shorts as much as possible, or I'll wear some like kind of like Nike windbreaker pants or something. Not really windbreaker. They're like those fleece pants or whatever. I wear those a lot. What's a funny story, and it made me feel good, is one time I was standing at Saul near the ring and I was talking to somebody, and this was before the show started, and I wasn't all in my suit and everything. I'm standing there. I got a black t-shirt on and a pair of Nike fleece pants, and I'm standing there, and LT Falk comes up and he slaps my back and he says, "Wolfie, how are you, buddy?" This is after you had shaved your head, and I'm no way near as big as you were. I've always had broad shoulders, and there's, you know, that's a good feeling, but when it comes down to it, I was like, that made me feel good, but Wolfie, that probably would not like that. Especially because I didn't know you, you
consider
know.
Consider the source.
LT Falk, love you, homie. But yeah, anyway, so that was funny. That's a little side story. I don't even know if I've ever told you that, but anyway, so the final part of the question that Ben is asking here is, which ring overall, now he kind of says the between the Memphis and WWF ring, but let's just take it even further. What was your favorite ring you ever worked in?
Smoky Mountain had a good ring. I really like their ring.
ECW had good rings.
Yeah.
WCW had good rings.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And I'm not the guy that knows who built which one and all that kind of stuff, but all those kind of seemed the same. And I think they were, I can't remember his name.
Not sure. I don't remember that name. I'm sure one of the listeners, Ben, will probably tell us, but yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure who made those rings. But so you're saying the Smoky Mountain was a good ring, WCW, ECW, those were all good.
Yeah, I just specifically remember like when we went to Smoky Mountain and worked Tracy and Dirty White Boy and all that. I just remember coming out of that match going, God, that was a hell of a bumping ring, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like almost didn't feel it.
You know? Yeah, that's awesome. And that's awesome.
And, you know, Memphis, almost every night you'd have a fucking Frank or Joe Wheeler or whoever the referee might be, Bill Rush or somebody coming over to you going, you know, stomping their foot, you know, real lightly in one spot going, there's a hole right here. There's a hole right here. Be careful right here. I was like, fuck, man.
And that wasn't when he was counting you three with his foot, right? No, this was no, checking no, it before. No. Yeah.
Hey, there's a fucking hole in his ring. Or the boards slid, you know, during the night. Or
yeah. I know that most listeners of the show or fans of wrestling don't get to see a ring before it's put together. It's honestly scientific, man, if you think about it. The way that they've done it with the 2x4s and everything. If you've worked, if you've ever get the chance to work on a ring crew of any sort, I think it teaches you a lot. It taught me a lot putting together Porter's rings and stuff like that. Most of the time, other than that, the ring was already put together when I would go to a show. But whenever worked for Porter, you know, we moved that ring in and out of that church building so much. Putting it together, taking it apart, you really learn a lot about a ring in that regard.
And it's funny, and some people will be like, what? But honestly, you know, they say paying your dues and all that kind of stuff. I never put a fucking ring together, never. And I'm not saying be like... Yeah. Better than this or that, or it's almost, in a way, it's almost embarrassing to admit it. But the one time that I did it, it was me and my friend. We went to the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville to watch the WWF.
Yeah.
And some kind of way at the end of it, I want to say it was Tony Garea, had just walked up to us. And we were, this is right before I got into business. So I had to be somewhere around 15, 14, something like that.
Okay.
And my buddy were there and he goes, you guys want to help take down the ring? I think they gave us $25 or something. And we just, you know, toted stuff. We didn't actually pull things apart. It would just be like, here, carry this. And we take a ring and tote it out. And so that was the only time I've ever, dealt with that.
Yeah. Now you picked up the ring post like the Colorado Kid did by himself. That was
But I do remember, though, in all seriousness, is just when we took it apart, getting to see how it came apart and what all was under there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's impressive, man. Yeah.
And I know it's been a thing at some places, and I don't know what they do now as far as miking the ring up, but you know, people would always ask, do they put a microphone under there so it's louder? And I think that's probably been the case before, but I remember there was no microphone under there and there was the wood and the carpet and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, This is not a trampoline.
No, it's not. And you would think that it is. And that's what's funny. But, you know, the slamming of a 300-pound man on 2x4s that bounce together, that's the sound, you know.
The plywood.
Right. Yep, the plywood, absolutely. Yep, that's definitely part of it, too. Yeah, so.
That has to be broken in somewhat. If it's a brand-new ring, or the way it used to be, if it was brand-new, you would really not want to bump on it too much because till the boards got, like, loosened up just a hair where they, you know, give a little bit more and, you know, absorb just a little more shock.
Well, yeah, for sure. Now, okay, the Mexico rings, how were they, man?
Like concrete.
Because they were like boxing rings, right?
It's similar, yeah. But they just, and I think I told you this story, you know, the first night in Mexico, I figured out real quick why they did all those rolling bumps. You know, I went to take like a reverse hip toss and I go up high, boom, bam, and come back down. I was like, motherfucker. I mean, it really was like fucking concrete. That was one of those things where I go to the corner and whisper to Jamie, I said, don't take a fucking American bump on this shit. So we learned
pretty quick.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of why you see all the luchadors. Everybody says they don't sell. Well, it's not really that. It's that they're rolling bumps, you know, that they don't kill themselves and they want to work tomorrow night too, you know.
But, yeah, and I think that's probably not a thing anymore. I would say that everything has kind of been, in that regard, Americanized. I'm sure their rings are just like ours now.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. Okay, one more question, and this one's kind of, this is a side topic here, also about rings, and you know, we talked about you going to the back and putting on jeans and all that, and you hated that because you're sweating and stuff, but I'm sure you know guys that would go to the back, not wash off, not do one thing, put their street clothes back on and go to the club, not be any different, not swollen. And those are the guys that probably never got staff. You know what I mean? Or either they were infected with it for life or they just never got it. Those are the kind of guys. Did you ever, like, was there, you don't have to name names on this, but was there any, some big name dudes that you were like, my God, man, you're kind of gross. Like,
well, I mean, I told the story of Cactus Jack Mick Foley. You know, he left the place in his Mankind suit. He just put a jumpsuit on over it, went to the hotel with me and Jamie, slept on top of the covers with all that on, got up the next morning, put the jumpsuit back on over the Mankind thing, and went to the fucking airport. I mean,
wow. Okay.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, that, yeah. Love you, Mick. Anyway, yeah, that's, we didn't want to get into a, we've had a ton of knocks on this show already, so I didn't want to get into that.
There's dudes, man, that would, you know, the other thing I hated is if I could smell you on me when I got done, God, that's, I'm going to have to find something to wash off on because that's gross.
Yeah, man. Everybody knows, I've talked about this a million times. When I was a manager, there was one guy who did not wash his gear ever. And he was a kind of a high flyer. He could run around and stuff. And I remember, I can't remember who I was managing. It might have been somebody. It had to have been somebody. But what I'm saying, I can't remember who I was managing. But every time this guy would run around into the corner, bounce around, I was supposed to pull his leg, all that. Man, every time he would come over there, it was rough, brother. Ooh. It was like, holy cow, man. Ooh. And I feel like somebody, that's when a locker room needs a veteran to call that stuff out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes those guys never learn that stuff. And if nobody's calling it out, then they don't even know because they probably don't even smell it. I don't know how this guy didn't smell it and gag because I did every time, you know. Yeah. So,
but anyway, my cyberpunk outfit, it got to stinking because that was one thing that we never really thought of beforehand was, okay, we've got one suit and we're working 5 and 6 nights a week.
Oh, man.
How are you going to keep that thing clean? And see, honestly, man, like, okay, wearing the shorts – the shorts don't get that fucking maybe dirty on the outside, but not like super sweaty on the inside. That would have been my knee braces and fucking underwear and shit. So that's easy to, you know, rinse and stuff like that. Not having to have, and plus I had more than one pair of shorts, but the cyberpunk outfit only had one. So it was like, shit. And the guy that makes them is all the way in Mexico and didn't have a cell phone to just ring him up real quick. But.
And it's not like you could just put on a regular pair of tights and it looked the same or look correct, you know? So,
exactly.
Yeah, man. Wow. Well, we went all over the world there, but I like, you know, thank you for that question, Ben. Thank you for that answer, Wolfie. Yeah, man. I just love the show. I think we had a good time on this one, so.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We appreciate Reggie coming on. I know Reggie don't do a whole lot of stuff like this anymore, but we appreciate him coming on. I was glad to talk to him, man. Been a while since we were able to talk, man.
Yeah, for sure. And if y'all haven't noticed already, I want to say this real quick. So I put out a post online, and thank y'all so much for your support as listeners. It means the world to us. Y'all come out in droves. I put out a few things. One of them is sometimes Wolfie and I, we want to go to the listener on ideas for shows. So I did put out a thing for top 10 lists, and y'all have really gone out of your way on replying to that. It's on our @LiveWolfieD social media pages. Now, what I will say is, I think you're obviously listening right now, so you're a listener. But I do believe that some of our social media followers are not listeners because they were posting things that we had already done. Yeah. So once again, thank them for posting that. maybe go back in the archives a bit, listen to some of the older shows. I promise they were good too. But if you got a good top 10 show idea, we like those, and come up, if you come up with something, we'll definitely shout you out whenever we do the show. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, thank you.
we appreciate the listeners, and we appreciate any ideas they may have, because we've been doing this for 2 years now, every week. So that's what are we at? 109
is today's episode. Yeah. So we're
that's
in
a lot of guests, and that's a lot of different ideas that me and Jimmy, rack our brains over once a week. So
yeah. So any help is appreciated. But at the same time, and some guys just don't know that, a lot of you all have recommended guests as well. And we would love to have all the guests that you post. I promise you. Some of them just aren't possible. Others of them have been solid no's. They don't want to do it. And then others we've tried and it just hasn't happened. So that's one thing I don't think we stress enough is the thought and the process that we go through to try to get guests. And I figure we're pretty lucky to have had the ones that we have had. Absolutely. But at the same time, it is a process. And, it's always the way it works is Wolfie's the front end, I'm the back end. And so whatever you hear ultimately is a lot of work into it. So when it comes down to it, some guests just haven't been possible. Some have just said, no, thank you. And but we understand.
Some are under contract, and those I'm sure everybody understands that some of those just aren't going to happen.
Right.
Because of their contracted situations or whatever. So some of them are just not going to happen. And some people that have their own podcast, they're kind of like me. I know people have asked me to do some, and yes, I've done some here and there, but it almost doesn't make sense for me to really do them right now when I have my own. So
Right.
I understand that from different angles. So.
Yeah, and it's like they want to ask the same questions that we've asked, but that's okay. You were just on the Hannibal show, and that was a great episode, but it was really just like a greatest hits of Wolfie D, which is probably like 90% of them. So, in a lot of those cases, all those questions have been answered, but in the Hannibal case, that's probably just in front of a lot of new listeners and different audience.
It's new to them.
New to them, but a lot of cases, come on, listen to our show and go back and you'll hear that most of those questions have been answered in depth. And, we do our best with that. So thank you all for wanting Wolfie D on your show. We're always appreciative of that. But sometimes I have to put him in a headlock and get him in the right frame of mind to want to do his show. So
do this show. Yeah.
But anyway, we thank y'all. First of all, we thank you so much for being great listeners and being so supportive. So with that being said, I'm going to shut up, Wolfie. You can take us out.
You shut it on up and I'll shut us on out. So everybody tune in next week. Who knows what we got coming up, but hopefully we'll bring you something good again. So tune in next week, guys. We appreciate you.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school, but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise. This team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
That's right. It's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes, and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah.
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
If you're a fan of rock music, I'd really appreciate it if you took a moment to check out my podcast. It's called the Decibel Geek Podcast. We've been doing it for about 10 years now. We talk about Kiss. We talk about Ozzy. We talk about Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and Metallica. We talk about all the legends from the 60s and on up to brand new bands that you should be hearing about today that you're not going to hear on the radio. It's Decibel Geek. Wherever you find your podcasts, you'll find us there. If you love rock and roll, I can almost guarantee you're going to love my show.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for you, don't.
He got a cap for you, don't.
I got a cap for you, don't.
He got a cap for you, don't.
For you, don't. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging. Don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still living in color. Plum rush your mother. Utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N.O.D. and I was P to the G plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.